Good morning and a very warm welcome to St. Columba's Derry Vrolgi. On the 1st of November, can we believe that it's November? But it's also All Saints Day today. So a very warm welcome to you if you're here with us in the building or if you're watching online at home in your cosy jammies with a big mug of tea. I am not jealous whatsoever. Our scripture verse this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40. And we come this morning to worship a God who is here with us, who knows what is going on in our world, who knows our every thought, our every feeling, our every worry and concern. He's with us in our joy and in our challenges in life. And we come before him this morning with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, to pray for our needs and the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. We come to a time in our service of confession, knowing that we worship a God of forgiveness. And so we say together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our appointed psalm for this morning is Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1. And as we do most weeks, I will say the first verse and you say the second. So I'll say the odd numbers and you say the evening. So that is Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. We're at the point in our service where children would usually come up to the front, and I have to say that I am really missing the buzz and the noise of the children, but we are really pray and look forward to a day when they can come back and join us. But this morning I want to ask you a question. Does anybody know what this is? The name is on the front. You might have some sitting in your kitchen. Yeah, it's a breast cancer cookbook. So last week I took it upon myself to do some cooking, to do some baking. I had a little bit of time in my hands and thought, why not? And as I looked through some of the recipes in my cookbook, I noticed that there is a lot of sugar that goes into some of these recipes. But actually, a lot of them also have a little pinch of salt that goes into them. Now, too much salt and that would just spoil it. But in the recipe, the specific one that I was using, it said just to put a tiny bit of salt into my recipe. Now, cookies are sweet. That is what I made last week. I made Terry's chocolate orange cookies, and cookies are sweet, but there was this little bit of salt that had to go into them. And our Bible passage this morning for the kids is Mark 9, verse 50, and you'll see it on the screen. And it says, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavour, how do you make it salty again? You must have the quantities of salt among yourselves and live in peace. Now, if I had put too much salt in it, there wouldn't be very nice cookies, but gladly I had just got it right. In fact, I think we have a photo of the cookies, not to make you too hungry. But unfortunately, I couldn't bring any this morning because they're all in here. They're all in here. But you didn't come to church this morning for a class on cooking or baking. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, which is where this passage comes from, says, you are salt of the earth. And the adults today in our sermon are going to be learning about salt as well. Most of the recipes require just a little pinch of salt. Not very much, but it completely changed the taste. And if it hadn't have been there, we'll notice that it's missing. There's a lot going on in our world at the moment. There's a lot happening. There's a lot on our minds. And if you and me show the love of Jesus as being the salt of the earth, think of what that can do. If just you just had a little bit of salt that you took into the world, imagine how much that could create. Just a pinch can do so much for the bitterness and everything that is in our world. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all the food that you provide us to make recipes and to bake nice things like cookies. Lord, we pray that as we go back to school tomorrow, as we go about our everyday, that you would teach us to be salt of the earth, that we would carry you wherever we go in our day to day. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to hear our Bible reading from Sophie.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Thank you to Sophie for reading that passage for us. Let us pray as we come before God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word, we pray that you would open our eyes to see you, open our ears to hear you. May we be aware of your presence with us wherever we are. And may you teach us through this to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning we reach the final in our series of You Are the Church. And this morning we are going to be looking at salt and light. And we're all very aware of this passage this morning. And I want to tell you a story. There was an important bishop that was once coming to stay with the rector for a night. And his 8-year-old son was very eager that this really important person was coming to stay. And so he asked his dad, "Dad, in the morning, can I bring this bishop his tea?" So the dad agreed, but told the son what he had to say. He told him that he had to say, "It's the boy, my lord, it's time to get up." So the son made the cup of tea and he was practicing in his head. He was going round and round. And he knocked on the bedroom door of this very important bishop. And the bishop asked, "Who is it?" And all confused and nervous that this man was so important, the boy said, "It's the Lord, my boy. Your time is up." The The purpose of that story this morning is that you are important. You matter. If you're a follower of Jesus, living by the Beatitudes, which is the passage previous to the one we're looking at today, you matter. You're important, and you have an important role to play because you are salt of the earth and light. The passage that we are looking at this morning comes from this section in Matthew that essentially can be called the Kingdom Handbook. It's not advice for non-believers, it's advice for believers, telling us how to live. Jesus uses two metaphors, he uses two word pictures that we are so familiar with to describe our role during our time on earth. Two pictures that will tell us what we are here for, that will tell us what our purpose is in life. Excuse me. As disciples, you and me, we are salt because we are precious. In Jesus' day, salt was a commodity. A bit like toilet roll back in March, there was a bit of a commodity. But all joking aside, Roman soldiers were actually paid with salt. This was the thing that they were paid with. Instead of money, it was salt. And salt had two purposes in the first century. Due to the lack of refrigeration in the really hot climate, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat. Believers are to act as a preserving influence on this world. Salt was also needed to prevent rotting and decaying. If our Christianity, if our faith is also rotting and decaying, it won't be any good in the world. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever ate a slice of mouldy bread, a bit like this one that you'll see on the screen? Yeah, I've got a few hands up there. Maybe you have had a slice, you've gone into the cupboard, there's no fresh bread, so you've just picked the mould off and you've put the rest in the toaster, hoping the heat will just reserve all that. Well, I watched a programme this week that was talking about how we store our food and how we keep it last. And it's 20 million slices of bread are chucked away by families in the world each week. 20 million slices of bread. And on average, 8 meals a month are put to waste, all because it went off before we got round to using it. Verse 13 says, "You're salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." If the salt no longer tasted like salt, or it's no longer preserved, or it's no longer accomplished what its purpose was to do, it was useless, thrown out. Jesus makes it clear that as salt, we are useful people. Also, Christians can be a blessing. Salt is useful to us in our cooking. And just like that, as Christians, we can be useful to the world. The second thing salt is used for is to enhance flavour. And that was in Jesus' day, but also now. As followers of Jesus, we are to enhance the flavour of this world, living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the obedience of Jesus will inevitably influence the world for good. As salt has a positive influence on the flavour of food, so we should have a positive influence on the world. Where there is strife, we are to be peacemakers. Where there are sorrows, we are to be ministers of Jesus, binding up wounds. Where there is hatred, we are to exemplify the love of God. Remember that salt was precious. Remember that you matter. As a result of that, preserve your faith, invest in it, and use it to enhance the world around us. We can never affect the world for Jesus by becoming like the world. So let's invest in our faith, let's preserve it, and use it to enhance the world around us. Once upon a time, there were four people who had very unusual names. I'd like to introduce the people to you. The one was called Everybody, another was called Somebody, and another Anybody, and the last one was called Nobody. At the time our story begins, Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody all lived together in the same house. That would have been a bit confusing. They all got along well together and did their share of the work. But one day, there was a very important job to be done. And then the trouble started. Everybody said, somebody will do it. Now, anybody could have done it, but in the end, nobody did it. Somebody became very angry and said, but it's everybody's job. But everybody said anybody should have done it. Nobody knew that everybody wouldn't do it. In the end, everybody blamed somebody because anybody could have done the very important job, but nobody did it. This story shows us a lack of responsibility. And this term that Jesus gives us, light of the world, isn't only a great responsibility, but it's a compliment. It's a compliment that you are light of the world. But with that comes responsibility. Maybe you feel pressure with that, the responsibility. There's no doubt about that. But how about letting it feel like joy, like a gift? For indeed, this is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. Jesus names for us here a glory of an entirely different sort, an opportunity to live a different way, salt and light. Jesus says we are light of the world, because indeed he claimed this title for himself. Light of the world means that we aren't only light receivers, but we are light givers. We have a greater concern than only ourselves. We must have someone to lovingly shine to. Salt, as we've discovered, is the preservative of our faith. It's the key ingredient. We are light is the outworking of that faith. Shortly after God said back in Genesis 1, let there be light, he sprang Adam and Eve to being. Why? Because he needed the light carried in a dark world. And what was their command? To be fruitful and increase in number in all the earth. In other words, shine your light bright for all to see. Then later on in Genesis 2, God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. We are living lights. The purpose of light is to illuminate and expose what is already there. God didn't plan for us to be secret Christians and to hide. He planned for us to shine brightly as lights. Right now, we all know what it means to be socially distant and to quarantine. About a year ago, half of us hadn't even heard of the term Zoom. But salt and light reminds us that we are not to hide in isolation as Christians, hidden away for no one to see or to hear. Jesus wants us to live out this life. No one ever says, I'm afraid of the light. They always say, I'm afraid of the dark. Maybe as a child you were afraid of the dark and needed to keep a light on overnight. And when we're preaching about this term, salt and light, sometimes we tend to focus on the salt and light aspects and then forget about what it says in verse 14. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes we forget about this wee bit. See, when we're preaching about salt and light, sometimes it's always that kind of go-to youth talk that you'll do, but we forget about this city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. I want to tell you a story about a village called Masca that I visited. Summer 2019, I was on holiday. I know we're wondering what a holiday is now, but I was on holiday in Tenerife, and I decided to hire a car and to drive up to the volcano, but also to visit this little village. So we were in this little Fiat Punto, and we got on quite well, drove on the right side of the road for once, and didn't have an accident at all. But then we decided to visit this little city called Masca. Well, it isn't a city, it's a village, but we decided to visit Masca. And the road down to Masca, let's just say, is not for the lighthearted. I was with Daniel at the time, who is a bit afraid of heights. So for this drive, it was pretty nerve-wracking. I have a few pictures of Masca. So the road down to Masca is very windy. I promise you, at some point, Top Gear has got to do a bit on Masca. But as you can see from the photo, it's really windy all the way down. You can't see what's coming, and you can't see what's passing you behind you. But you also can't see the village. You can see how bendy that those roads are. You can't see the village whatsoever. But then when you get on further down, you get to see the village and you get to see what it's like and its beauty. It's beautiful, a beautiful, beautiful village. And the people are lovely. And then you can see these beautiful flowers, but you can't see that whenever you're on the road. You can't see its beauty. You can't admire it. You have to go down in order to see the beauty of the village. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, such a city is prominent. If you see a city, it's hard to take your eyes off it. It was really hard for me to take my eyes off the beauty of this village. In fact, one of those photos stayed as my wallpaper on my phone for quite some time. And Jesus wants people of the kingdom to live visible lives that attract attention to the beauty of God's work in lives. Verse 16 then goes on to say, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Previously, he's talked about this lampstand analogy, and it gives the sense that we are to be intentional about letting our lights shine. Lampstands are places that are higher so that their light can be more effective and go over larger places. We should look for ways for our light to shine in greater and in broader ways. The purpose in letting our light shine is to glorify God. So what are we saying today? What's the point of this? Jesus never challenges us to be salt and light. We are salt and light, and we are either fulfilling or failing at that responsibility. It's not you might be salt and light, not you could be, not maybe possibly one day you will be, but you are salt and light. Let's live so that people may taste God's presence through us. Live to cast light in shadows of the darkest days. So my challenge to you this morning is, as salt and light, are you fulfilling or are you failing in that responsibility? Let's take salt, let's preserve our faith, let's spend time and invest in it, and then go out in the world to enhance it. Let us pray. Let us now pray to the Father of light, that we may truly become the salt and light of the world. Lord, let your light shine in us. Lord, we love the light. We surround ourselves with bright and shiny things. We mix with cheerful and happy people. We keep our lamps lit, our fires burning, and our salt at the ready. But Lord, we know that there are dark and unsavoury places inside us, places we have not allowed your light to shine, activities we have not allowed your salt to flavour, dark and unsavoury attitudes that affect the lives of those closest to us, dark and unsavoury actions and words that hurt and leave scars we cannot heal. Forgive us, Lord. Bring your light and healing touch to every part of our lives, every relationship, every activity, every word. And as we begin to experience your forgiveness and healing, help us to move out into the dark and unsavoury places around us. Help us to bring your light and hope, your joy and peace to those who need it most. Let us pray for the sick and for those who suffer, for all in our nursing homes, hospices, and for those who are housebound. We remember all who are sick among them. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord of life, your son Jesus wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus, and we pray for all those grieving the loss of a loved one, whether recently or a long time ago. We pray knowing that you make it possible for us to continue with our earthly lives, that you are with us wherever we go, that you wipe every tear from our eye. And we look to the day where there will be no more grief and no more death. We pray for all those who are imprisoned, whether wrongly or by their own doing and committing crime. We pray that all imprisoned would experience you in their confined space. By your Spirit, may they feel an awakened sense of your presence with them, encouraging them, sustaining them, and teaching them of your forgiveness for all. We pray for victims of crime, that you would banish their fear and give them hope of freedom from the chains that bind them. Lord, we pray for everything in our news this week, for every statistic behind it is a person, a family who have lost or have received news. Lord, we pray for our government. We pray that you would equip them to make the right and correct decisions for your land and your people. Father, we pray for all across England who now enter another lockdown. Lord, we pray that your presence would be made known. Lord, we pray for every person that is living alone, that they would know that you are there with them. We pray as people that you would guide us to make the right decisions in following rules and guidelines, in order to protect not only ourselves, but others. We pray for children here in Northern Ireland as they head back to school tomorrow. We pray for teachers. We pray for classroom assistants, receptionists, cleaners, and all who work in the education environment. Father, we pray that you would refresh them on Monday morning as they head back to work and to school. Father, we pray that you would protect them, that you would keep them safe. Lord, we trust that you work all things out for the good of those who love you. Lord of endless love, we pray for our country, your world that you once entrusted into our hands. We pray that by the power of your Spirit and according to your will, there will soon be a day where COVID-19 is a distant memory. Teach us in these times, Lord, to trust you with our whole lives. May we seek your face daily and do what is good and pleasing in your sight, O God. A collect of today. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship, in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the prayer our Father once taught us, saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we end our service this morning, there's just a couple of announcements of things happening this week. Again, our Small Steps service happens on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Anyone and everyone is welcome to that, but if you are at home and you just don't feel quite ready to come back into church on a Sunday, you are more than welcome to that short morning prayer service. Derry Volge Kids started back online in September, and as part of that, as leaders, we have been reviewing what happens in the future with Derry Volge Kids. So if you are a parent and you have been involved in that, there is a little short survey just to see what you would appreciate for your children and how we can help you learn at home whenever we are unable to be in the church building. So if you're a parent and you want to fill that out, we'll get a little link up online for that little survey. It'll only take 3 minutes to fill it out. Next Sunday, we are beginning our new sermon series called Whole Life Worship. And we're going to be looking at how we worship with our whole lives. Previously, we've been looking at what is the church. And as part of the church, we worship God. And I remember whenever we were unable to sing in church, and a lot of us were saying we miss worshipping, but really we can worship with our whole lives. So that sermon series is going to be looking at worshipping with our whole lives. As part of that, we are going to be starting life groups, which is for 5 weeks. We had hoped to have one in person and then one online, but we're going to review that just with where the restrictions are at the time. Regardless, if you'd like to sign up, there is a little sign-up sheet at the door, or else there is a link online for you to sign up online, and we will be in touch with all the plans that are happening for that. Again, the basket is sitting there on the way out for your free will offering. And stay safe this week and stay connected with us. If you need anything at all, you know where James and I are. So as we close, we go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love and to reflect God's glory. The Almighty and merciful Lord, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. Amen.